Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Thank you very much for being here on this bright and early morning. Today, we have three bills that are scheduled for work session. And the House Bill 3047A, we are waiting on the paperwork. Wait, which one?
We're ready on that. We're not ready on this one.
Oh, okay. I apologize. It's House Bill 2597A that we're waiting on the paperwork. That paperwork has been promised to us for this afternoon at 2. We were thinking we were going to leave our committee open until 9:30 on recess, but based on what LFO has told us, what we will be doing is reconvening this afternoon somewhere after 2, more than likely closer to 2:30. And I know that two of our members have 3 o'clock, so we will want to get those done, that last one done.
And at 2 o'clock, so I've got a 2 and a 3,
yep.
So
that's why
2:30 would be great.
Yeah, that's what we're going to shoot for is 2:30, and that would give us that opportunity to take care of that last one. So do we want to just go from middle to bottom? We'll open up a work session on House Bill 2633A. Josh?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2633A regulates the provision of sex offender treatment. The bill converts what is currently a title act into a practice act and creates a third licensing rung for certified secondary associate sex offender therapists while providing several exceptions to the licensing requirement. There is a -A6 amendment posted on OLIS. The amendment does two things. First, it requires the Department of Corrections, the Oregon Health Authority, and the Oregon Youth Authority to submit a report to the interim judiciary committees describing the steps the agencies would need to take if the governmental exemption in Section 111B were removed, while also including in the report any complaints the agency has received. Second, the amendment also includes clarifying language applicable to persons who are referred for sex offender treatment pending trial. With the -A6 amendment, House Bill 2633 has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
All right. Thank you. What I ask is for Senator Denbrough, if you'll make the motion on the A6,
sure.
And then we'll open it up for discussion.
Sure. Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the A6 amendments to House Bill 2633A.
All right. Thank you. So we have a motion at this point to adopt the A6 into House Bill 2633A. And I guess I'm going to just start off as the chair to make the statement. A6 is kind of a halfway there from the perspective of the chair. I am very concerned that we are setting up what we are doing, but I understand the reasons why we're doing it is to giving some ability for transition. I don't believe personally that individuals working in the governmental sector should have some type of exemption where in the public sector they're held to a higher standard and sense of education and experience. So this is a step forward, and as we stated, it will in fact require a report back to us to show us where we're at and how long it's going to take for the governmental units that have individuals serving in these capacity to be able to complete whatever schooling they may need to do or other requirements to get the certifications. Other comments and discussion?
Can you clarify how, and Josh, maybe this is appropriate, clarify the language does not apply due to subsection 111B of this act to become certified under section, I'm wondering what applies and what doesn't, and then it continues on, were to be repealed.
Mr. Chair, Senator Linthicum, so first let's start with in the printed bill, we're looking at section 111B, which is the governmental exemption, okay? So that says these folks don't need to be certified if they're operating within the scope and course of employment. I will concede to you that the amendment is a mouthful, and you have to sort of read through very carefully. But so I'm looking at the A6, page 1, lines 17 to 21, and so the
Correct.
Report has to include any steps they would need to take to ensure that any of their employees to whom this bill does not apply because of that governmental exemption, what they would need to do to become certified if the governmental exemption were repealed.
And the problem we're trying to solve with that is?
We're trying to figure out exactly what it's going to take for us to have these individuals that are employed by in the government sector to reach and obtain the same standard and level in the, I'm going to call it the private sector. And the pushback, very frankly, that we've gotten from the governmental units is that they don't know if they can afford it. It's going to cause all these other problems. They're not going to be able to provide services. You know, it goes on and on. So it's not uncommon for us to actually have something scoped out and have a obligation on the part of a governmental unit or agency to basically come forward with additional information. So this is kind of a step process where we're going to allow for the individuals that are serving in these capacities to continue to do so. But during that time, we expect for a report to come back with these different criteria that we've listed. And then at that point, we'll be in a better position as to what would be the ramification, and I say ramification, in the sense of the cost for actually bringing those different agencies up to the standard that we're wanting to achieve across the board for people providing those type of services.
Well, I guess my follow-up question, if I may, would be that if this is an important issue, and training and standards are important, and we're going to hold the private sector to a standard that's different than the public sector, there's just something that distasteful about that. If these are standards, they're standards, and we ought to all abide by them.
And I don't disagree with you, but I also understand the ramifications of us trying to get full compliance on day one is just not fiscally possible based on the information that we've received. And so this will be the first of what I'm going to call a two-step process. And so we will put stuff in place. We're expecting that everyone will be complying with what the requirements are, and then we're going to get the reports, and then we'll be able to act on it. I expect that we'll be taking some type of action sooner than later.
And based on the A6 amendment, the action that I see on the horizon is repealing Section 11, 1B, right?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think that's the expectation, is that when the report comes back, you would look at sort of the costs and benefits of repealing 11-1B. Okay.
Right. And that's the approach that, from this perspective, I think we need to take. The reality, what I don't know at this point, is how many individuals, how many agencies in state government and I'm assuming this also would apply at the local level.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the report is mandatory for the three state agencies, but it's optional for anyone at the local level.
Okay.
So county governments, we may not see local health authorities and whatnot where these individuals are employed or working, providing service. We may not actually get statistics from those arenas.
Mr. Chair, Senator Linthicum, I think that's correct. As a practical matter, my understanding is that the majority of counties actually contract out with a private entity. So the private folks would be regulated from day one. But I suspect there is a financial incentive for the local governments to submit a report to you.
That's to read between the lines.
Okay.
Code talk here.
Yeah.
All right.
You've answered my questions. I hesitate about that printed bill with that carve out.
I understand. Other comments and questions? All right, we have a motion before us to adopt the A6 amendment into House Bill 2633A. Those opposed, if any? So order. And now we'll take a motion on the full bill.
Would you like me to do it now?
Sure.
Okay, Mr. Yeah. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2633A as amended with the A6 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Thatcher moves House Bill 2633A as amended by the A6 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
I'll just add, I'm looking forward to the two-step process.
Aren't we all? All right. Any other comments? Any objection to the motion? So ordered. And does anyone want to carry the bill? I will carry it if no one is eager. Chair will carry on House Bill 2633A with the two-step process. All right. With that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2633A. Open up a work session on House Bill 3047A.
Thank you, Chair Prezonsky, members of the committee. House Bill 3047 was previously heard on May 25th. It provides an exemption to the crime of weaponized unmanned aircraft system, or drones. You now have in the -A10 amendment, which does several things, so this will take me a minute. It creates a Class C felony for operating a drone or UAS to fire a bullet or projectile or otherwise operate it as a dangerous weapon. It also creates a Class B felony if the drone fires the bullet or projectile or operates as a dangerous weapon and this action results in serious physical injury. It limits the exceptions for this offense to non-lethal projectiles for purposes other than to injure or kill persons or animals. It also prohibits the use of drones capable of releasing, discharging, propelling, or ejecting a projectile for the purpose of crowd management. It also adds a requirement that this exception applies to non-recreational purposes in compliance with the FAA, so for commercial uses or educational uses. It adds a requirement that the person operating the drone within this exception carry liability insurance for at least $1 million. It removes the notice exception for high schools. It also creates an offense for intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly operating a drone over private property to harass or annoy the owner of the property. The first offense for this would be a Class B violation. A second offense is a Class A violation, and a third offense is a Class B misdemeanor. It also allows a judge, when it's a Class B misdemeanor, to prohibit the defendant from possessing drones while on probation. The -A10 has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
All right, thank you. The chair entertain a motion for the A10s.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'll move the -A10 amendment to House Bill 3047.
Senator Thatcher moves the adoption of the A10 amendments into House Bill 3047A. I'm going to open it up for discussion, but Representative Huffman is here. John, I don't know if you wanted to make any comments or if you're just observing. All right. Comments. Senator Manning first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill really troubles me. I can see, as a former or retired United States Army soldier for over 24 years, I can see this being applicable in places like Afghanistan, places like Syria, where U.S. forces are actually fighting on the ground against a enemy. I do not see this as any other means but to take life. Having the ability to fire a bullet from the sky in civilian communities, as we are, as a former police officer, I think that that's the wrong way to go. This is a very dangerous bill. And I think that we need to look at it as it actually is. Having the ability to shoot a bullet or even a projectile and say that we won't fire it into crowds. We don't know who the operator of one of these things will be. And there are instances where there are drones already manufactured that have the ability to fire bullets. I think that this is a wrong way to go. And if we all agree, or we send this forward, we are putting potentially a lot of people's lives at danger. This is a military type of operation. Regardless of how you want to color code it, I cannot support this bill, and I won't support, and I will oppose it all the way. Thank you.
All right. Other comments? Let me just put on the record, since there were statements as to bullets. Nowhere in the bill that is before us today, as well as, well, I should say the amendments that are before us today, would allow for the firing of any type of bullet or other lethal is a good term.
Lethal to people or animals.
Or animals.
It has the capacity of firing.
That's true. This is one of those, how do I want to say this, a different day and a different world that we are living in. And for me, this is setting standards and requirements as to how and when and limits as to what and will be permitted. As we've heard through testimony regarding the use of drones, unmanned aircraft systems, that they're going to be applicable for multiple different things in the commerce as well as in recreational use as well. And I agree with you, Senator Manning, that we do not want to and we will not tolerate the misuse of that type of equipment in that type of setting. I mean, no matter what we pass or don't pass at this point, right now there's not anything that I, correct me if I'm wrong, counsel, that would prohibit someone from being able to have a drone that could discharge a lethal projectile or a bullet.
We do have, this measure actually amends that provision. There is a law that was created, I think, in 2015.
John, you're here. Thank you. My lifeline. That's when we did that.
Chair Przanski, John Huffman, State Rep for House District 59. I'm going to look to Whitney because the intent was the bill was initially improperly drafted. Nobody from the work group asked for the ability to fire a bullet. That was never in there. The premise of the drone work group has always been true to prohibit weaponization of drones. We started off in 2013 disallowing weaponization of drones by law enforcement and government entities, and then in 2015 we added recreational drones to that. So I want to make sure with Whitney, because we talked the other day, I want to be very clear that we're not allowing the firing of bullets. The intent between the ability to fire projectiles comes mainly from Oregon State University. They have 87 drones that they deal with, the Department of Agriculture, other agricultural entities, ODFW. They have a need for direct injection seeding and things like that they say technically is a projectile. And they want to make sure that they can legally do that. I did talk to Director Mitch Schwecker from Department of Aviation this morning, and he said he would be happy for me to put on the record that the reason for notification to the Department of Aviation is so that if somebody other than Oregon State University or OSU, one of them that flies under that authority to do that kind of testing, that the Department of Aviation is set up. They are the entity that would notify the appropriate authorities, Oregon State Police or whomever that might be, to guide them in the area that this projectile is going to be fired. But it's not a projectile, and that's why we put non-lethal in there. It's not, we wanted to clarify it's not a bullet, it's not something that can throw knives or, you know, it's, we really try to be careful to make sure Senator Manning, I don't know if you were reading the original base bill or if you think the -810 is still problematic as far as what we're trying to get at on the projectile, but there's no intent to allow anybody to fire a bullet or anything lethal.
Right. And I was just also going to follow up. There is the, Chair Brzezinski, members of the committee, the existing law is that you can't operate a drone that's capable of firing a bullet or projectile. The current existing law just makes that an A misdemeanor, and so what we did here is we kept that in place for the A misdemeanor, but then our dash A10 amendment elevates it if somebody actually then is not only operating a drone capable of doing that, but actually does discharge a bullet or some other type of dangerous weapon from the drone. That's the C felony, and then elevated further to the B felony if it actually results in serious physical injury. So we created more of a tiering based on the results or use of the UAS with a projectile.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like maybe after yesterday making a decision that may have been a little hasty, I don't feel like I've had enough information, I guess, personally on the amendment. It seems like it has a lot in it.
So this is what the chair is going to do. It is a lot in that amendment. We're going to carry this over to this afternoon. We have all the paperwork and everything. This will give everyone an opportunity to get through the A-10s. You know, the goal, as Representative Huffman said, what we're trying to do is maintain some type of continuity and control over what is coming our way. I mean, the bottom line, no matter what your personal beliefs and feelings, and I can tell you, I believe in self-help. If someone's hovering a drone over my house, or if I had a swimming pool and stuff like that, that I would take, you know, what I think is appropriate action. That's where I personally feel, okay, I'm online, I'm there. You know, the reality is we have something that is a new means of commerce that can be used. And then it's pretty, for me, amazing when you look at how this actually is going to be able to be used and facilitate. I mean, you take OSU with their marine studies. If they want to be able to put a GPS onto a well and be able to track, this is the way that they are going to be able to do that, by having the non-lethal projectile lodge the GPS into, you know, to the well for tracking and research and everything else. You take in the area of trying to put out fires. I mean, they're going to be doing testing to see if they can actually use the drones to get into areas where you have very hard or difficulty to get individuals in on any timely basis to set a backfire. And so there's a lot of potential positives here. But there's also, as Senator Manning has said, and I fully appreciate and understand from your experience and what you've seen, how destructive a drone can be used and what the intent is. But I, you know, it, to me, this is one of those situations that we get paid the big bucks to make the type of decisions that we're making today that will hopefully give some type of law and order and understanding that we're not going to tolerate individuals who are misusing that type of a system. And to me, when you look at how we've structured the A-10s, when you have an opportunity through sometime today to look at it, as Whitney has said, we're going to hold people accountable, and we're going to hold them accountable based on the conduct and what the end result could be or is. And I assure you that, you know, as chair of this committee, we will continue to be monitoring and looking at this. And if we find that we are needing to adjust these penalties to be greater sanctions, we can do that and such. But with that,
I would just like to make note. I think there's some problem areas in section 4.1 where it says hovering over a privately owned. I'm not reading it directly. Boundaries of a privately owned premise, in a manner so as to intentionally, knowingly, and then there's an or clause, or recklessly harass. And this one is the one that I think is problematic, or annoy the owner. The or annoy is just, you know what, I find this annoying, you know. And then just to clarify, I'm wondering, further down under 3A of section 4, it says a Class B violation instead of a Class we have a class up above. We have a Class B felony, a Class C felony, and a Class A misdemeanor. And this is a Class B violation And I'm wondering what the breakout schedule for that, why the distinction there? Is it because everyone recognizes that Inouye, the owner, is a loose ship?
Mr. Chair, can I
go ahead,
make a comment? Senator Linthicum, Section 4 was actually previously House Bill 3049, and it came out of the work group from a lot of different sources, Senator Haass, the Washington County Sheriff's Office, numerous law enforcement offices around the state, Department of Justice, and the Department of Aviation. We're all getting numerous complaints from people in their private residence, in their backyard and whatnot. I think I told the story before. We've heard stories about my 16-year-old daughter was sunbathing by the swimming pool, and this neighbor kept hovering over there with the belly camera and try to wave them off, and they wouldn't go away. All of the attorneys in the room on the work group said that law enforcement, we have all of them on the drone work group, said that there needs to be something in statute that gives law enforcement that gives the property owner or resident the ability to call the police, and then a violation where the police could actually respond and go knock on the drone owner's door and say, you need to stop, it's against the law. If I have to come back, you know, I'm going to write you a ticket. So I just want to clarify that this was a different bill that we put in here. So it's not connected at all with the projectile part. And so the penalties and offenses, that's why they're different. But that's what we're trying to get to, is to give all of the people that, and there have been hundreds of complaints this past year around the state of this kind of activity, and we're just trying to give law enforcement the ability to go knock on the door and say, stop.
Follow up, if I may. That presumes we know it's the neighbor and the police know where to go knock on the door. This seems, quite presumptive.
Well, the reality is, if they don't know who it is or where they're at, they're never going to be able to cite them for anything, because that person will never be known.
Exactly.
Right. And so, you know, that is a possibility, that of the likelihood of that, because line of sight is still, I believe, is still required for operation of a on the recreational side, at least.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. And also, if I might, Senator Linthicum, in a lot of the cases that have come before law enforcement, they say, it's my neighbor from three houses down. They know where the drone is. A specific instance plopped into my email about 2.5 months ago as we were working on this. A lady from Silverton emailed and thanked us for working on House Bill 3049. She said, 20 minutes ago, there was a drone hovering over my house in my backyard. I went out to see where, because it left then, and the operator was actually out in the street, a person that said they were working commercially for whatever reason. I don't know why they would have been hovering over her house in a commercial sense, but she said, knock it off. I don't want you over my house or my backyard. And the gentleman said, there's no law to keep me from it, so you have no right to ask me to not hover over your house and backyard. So that was a real life example that happened that day, and it infuriated her. So she emailed. There's actually a legislator that their son actually shot a drone out of the sky over their backyard. So we're also trying to give a tool so that we can relieve that frustration of not being able to do anything about it. Mark Johnson actually
helping from occurring.
Yeah. Wait, Representative Mark Johnson.
I hear your fear with regard to the chair's comments.
Representative Mark Johnson actually has had similar situations where his neighbor, and he knows who the neighbor is, has actually posted footage of Mark and his family and his property on Facebook and YouTube. So there are a lot of instances where we do know where the drones are coming from, and we're just trying to get to that to give people a right of action.
Yeah. So, again, as Representative Huffman said, you know, we had two bills, unfortunately, when they were assigned in the Senate. One went to business and commerce, or transportation, which was the 3049. And the president's office realized that it really should have come over to our committee. And that's why we have basically two bills being combined into one. And we use the 3047 as the vehicle to put 49 into it. And in answer to your concerns or questions regarding the tiering, as Representative Huffman said, when you look at this part of the bill, we're trying to deal with the recreational user for the most part that is just being obnoxious and doing stuff that, you know, we would find socially unacceptable. And so this gives an opportunity for they have recourse, getting law enforcement involved. The mental states that are there are there purposely for the ability, based on the fact scenario that's presented to, you know, of the situation. And then also having the tiering up of the type of sanctions. Again, what we expect is someone's going to be asked or told, depending on who's doing the asking or the telling, law enforcement or the individual homeowner, to have someone knock it off. If they fail to do that, they can, in fact, be cited for the first instance on the Class B violation. If they continue to do it, then they're not getting the message, so that's why we would take it up to the next level. These are just monetary fines that can be imposed. If it happens, continues to happen, and you have two previous convictions, and then it continues, then it goes into the criminal sanctions, and at that point, the court, as part of the sentence, will have the authority to limit, restrict, or prohibit an individual from using that drone because they've been shown that they can't, they're not responsible in that use. All right, so I assume at this point everyone would like to just kind of ponder the A-10 still and talk about it this afternoon. Is that
great?
Just a question. As you just articulated that, Mr. Chair, it sounds to me that there will be that there are two separate bills. One that's going to protect the privacy and respect of everyday people from the harassing, menacing of drones, and then there is this one. I think that if it looks sounds to me like both of them have been combined, I would hate to see the other one go down because it does look out for protection against a harassment and menacing of people that are using drones. To blend it in with this one, I would prefer to separate the two. And I think LFO has already said that there was an existing bill that that's done previously in 2015.
Chair Prezanski, members of the committee, that bill that I was referring to was about projectile drones that made it an A misdemeanor if anybody operated a projectile drone. This 3049 that was put into 3047 in the dash A10 is about a different matter about these hovering, annoying drones over private property, and I don't believe there's any other existing provision covering that conduct.
And that was what was that again?
3049.
49.
And that was put into our dash A10s. You can see it towards the very bottom.
Yeah, this 3049, as I mentioned, went to the Business Transportation Committee. Senator Beyer did not move that bill with the understanding that the bill should have come to our committee with 3047. And it was known at that time at the directions of the president's office that we would take up 349, we would incorporate the substance of 349 into 3047. And so that's why we basically put together, I mean, you know, the relating clause, this is the part, again, for, you know, as the new members are seeing firsthand now and realizing the relating clause is the key component as to what can or can't be put into a bill. And so since both of these, I think the relating clauses were exactly the same, it fits right in. So it's not like what we wanted to do is ensure that the, I'm going to call it the subject matter jurisdiction that this covers, and it's not as the president's office continues to probably monitor me when I say these things, that every unmanned aircraft system bill, drone bill, will come to the Judiciary Committee, even though I think it should. It won't. But the reality where it gets into this area of law, that is our subject matter jurisdiction. And so that's why we have combined the two bills into one, because at the point that when it went to business and transportation, instead of having it be pulled out, brought over to us through a referral process, again, this is the part where timing is now taking a more immediate impact, or having more of an immediate impact on what we're doing. I mean, today's our last day, technically, to actually move policy bills out of this committee. And so that's why we find ourselves where we're at. And so,
Chair Przanski, we have floor session this afternoon on the House side from 2 to 4, so I won't be able to come back. But I just want to leave with one remark for Senator Manning. There is no intent to weaponize a drone, period. It's been one of the foundational pieces of the drone work group, and this bill is not allowing weaponization. SOAR Oregon, which we plow a lot of money into every biennium, wants to have the approval of 3047 to drop spheres from drones. They're currently being dropped from helicopters for backfires. They want to test them at the Warm Springs Federal Testing Area this summer for backfires. Mark Peters was here the other day for a public hearing work session. I'm not sure if he got up and spoke or not, but Mark was talking about their 87 drones that they have licensed. He talked to Senator Przanski and I, you know, about the whales and the ag work they're doing, again, with direct seeding and innumerable things that they're just doing with the drones, and that's the focus of this. We also had in there, which we didn't mention today, is getting a piece in for law enforcement to use drones to recreate and investigate accident scenes, vehicular. We thought that was in House Bill 2710 in the 2013 session. Somehow that part got drafted out, and we only got crime scene in it, and so we added accident scene into this one also. So there are a number of components wrapped up in this bill. But thank you.
All right. John, thank you very much. Senator Thatcher?
Well, I just am looking at this note or letter from the Consumer Technology Association referring to laws already in place in Oregon that they think would cover UAS conduct, such as that would criminalize harassment, that already criminalize harassment and mischief. And they're referring to sections 164, 345, 354, and 365 that outlaw criminal mischief in a matter that covers UAS conduct. And they said also that section 166.065 also criminalizes physical harassment regardless of the instrumentality used. So I'm wondering, do we already have laws in place that would cover it?
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Vice Chair Thatcher, that's correct in a limited sense. Those are harassment is if you subject someone to offensive physical contact with the intent to harass or annoy. So I was actually going to mention that in relation to Senator Linthicum's question with the harass or annoy phrase. That's a fairly common usage in the criminal law, and it's in the harassment statute if you subject someone to offensive physical contact with the intent to harass or annoy. But the difference here is in harassment, you have to subject them to physical contact. So that could be using a drone to shoot a projectile at them, or throwing a drone at them, or spitting on somebody. That would be harassment because you're subjecting them to physical conduct. It could be assault if they were injured. This dash A10, what is in there, is just talking about the drones hovering in this kind of manner to harass and annoy somebody over their private property. It's not touching them. It's not injuring them. And so that wouldn't be encompassed in harassment or in criminal mischief, because criminal mischief is damaging somebody's property. So again, there is going to have to be some type of contact to have damage to the property to have a criminal mischief. And so I think that's the difference with the dash A10, is this is about your neighbor hovering over your backyard. You ask them to stop, and they won't stop. And what the person is supposed to do to then remove that kind of annoying object hovering in the air.
Mr. Chair, if I might, Whitney reminded me of something else on that language. First of all, the lawyers in the room will tell you that harass and annoy are like peanut butter and jelly. They virtually always go together. The intent part was put in there to give comfort to the commercial folks because they use drones to, one of these days, maybe sooner than we think, deliver parcel packages. Drones are used to survey electrical lines, gas pipelines, and so they wanted to have word in there that goes to either the mental state or the intention of the use of the drone. They're not intended to be harassing anybody when they're surveying their pipeline, for example, and so that's why intent is in there also.
With regard to clarification on this issue, in the subsection 4 from 3049, the phrase or annoy is dropped in there, yet in the section above it's intentional, comma, knowingly or recklessly. There is no annoy there, so I can avoid the annoy by being up in section one and using right, so one of those quote drawings that has been fitted with projectile usage doesn't have the annoy phrase associated with it. The annoy phrase only shows up in the 3049 portion of this bill. I think that's a discrepancy that we should avoid getting into. I would like to see the or annoy struck out of there. They're intentionally, knowingly, recklessly are all legitimate. Annoy, that's subjective.
All right, so those three terms, intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly, is mental state. That is the mental state of the operator of the drone. And that's just basically what is required to be shown for a person to be held accountable under Section 1. The district attorney or city prosecutor, whoever is bringing the charges, is going to have to allege that the operator intentionally or knowingly or recklessly operated the drone in that conduct, in that capacity. The annoy is not a mental state. That is a conduct.
Well, annoy is actually a subjective perspective from a third party.
Well, that's why I guess if someone wants to contest that in a court of law, if it is a be the judge on a violation, would be making the determination as to whether they thought the person had that in, I'm going to call it, intent to annoy. Or if they were in front of a jury, if it was on the criminal, meaning they had a third incident after being convicted twice, then they would have a right to a jury trial since it's criminal, and a six-person jury would have to make that determination. But the term and the phrase of with the annoy is the standard phrase that's used in the criminal law in that capacity. Harass or annoy.
One last follow-up. This is crunchy peanut butter in our jelly sandwich, but or intends to annoy the owner would be illegitimate because we're describing the mental state of the individual who's causing the violation.
It could be knowingly or it could be recklessly. There's three different ways, three different mental states.
You clarified it with the insertion of a word intends to annoy, and I'm just pointing that out here. If this said recklessly harass or intend to annoy, I would be comfortable with that because now we're talking about the individual who caused the violation, not the individual on the perception end of the scale.
So I'm going to ask Aaron if you'd please come up, because the way to read this is that in the manner that is intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly, those are the mental conduct, and then the conduct itself is either harass or annoy. So
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Aaron Knott. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Department of Justice. I actually ran over from my office when I heard this line of the conversation. I agree with the chair. I believe that harass and annoy will be read conjunctively with the mental state, meaning you must intend to harass, intend to annoy, knowingly harass, knowingly annoy, recklessly harass or recklessly annoy. And that was written precisely to avoid subjectivity and annoyance, that it wasn't just, you know, if I wake up in the morning and there's a construction site down on the end of my block, that will annoy me. There is no intent to annoy me. Probably wasn't even recklessly annoying me. If I'm a particularly prone to annoyance person, in the absence of intent, annoyance can pop up any time a drone goes over my head. The way this is written, it is meant, and I think legislative counsel would affirm, though I shouldn't speak for them, that that annoyance has to be intentional, that that will be read conjunctively. So I think for both the harass and the annoy, there is a mental state requirement. It's not going to be enough just to be annoyed. Somebody has to want to annoy you.
All right. Based on questions and other comments?
Yeah, just, you know, I'll say that I'm very satisfied with that language. I think it really precisely gets at what we're trying to get at here. Not only the, you know, the sort of incidental annoyance that could happen for some people any time they see a drone, but it would have to have been intentional. But also I think it covers that commercial kind of enterprise that Rep. Huffman talked about, that the amendment is seeking to address. And I know that is a concern of the tech association, is that they're afraid that legitimate commercial activities will get caught up in this in a negative way. But I think the way this is written, I just don't see that happening, because that company, the individual bringing suit against the company would have to show that they were being intentionally targeted for some reason, and their property was being violated in a unknowing or in a reckless manner, that is, in a manner where the person should have known that this would be the effect. So I'm comfortable with it.
And Mr. Chair, can I offer one more brief comment?
Yes, you may.
Chair Przanski, Senator Dembrough, and Senator Lithicum, this is an instance where I think if there are concerns about ambivalence in the wording, an emphatic floor statement that clarifies that this is meant to be read conjunctively and for that purpose would do a lot of good if there is ever any appellate confusion downstream.
And Chair Przanski, the Tech Association letter was sent prior to putting intent into the A-10 amendment also.
That was my understanding. That was my understanding, but when I looked at the letter itself, it is dated the 31st, so it was dated yesterday. So it did come in after. This is
they
a new,
updated it.
This
okay.
is a new letter. But the part that I guess I want to come back, and this is a segue for the letter, is that a lot of this is couched on the work with at the federal level with FFA. The reality is they're not going to get enforcement through FFA or on a federal side here for the type of conduct that we're looking at. And then when you look at the part of the letter that Senator Thatcher was pointing out and what Whitney has brought to our attention as to what is current law, it just isn't applicable to the conduct that we're trying to ensure doesn't occur, because you take harassment, it actually means some type of offensive physical contact. And so either the drone is going to have to have that physical contact, or something is going to have to be as a projectile come off of that to reach that type of threshold. And so at this point, what we're attempting to do is, and this is the part that, as Representative Huffman has put forward, you know, this is ongoing work. You look at what we did in 2013, 2015, and guess what? It's 2017, and we're refining it. We're getting our concerns that have been raised, trying to modify bad behavior and hold people accountable for that type of behavior. And as, I mean, even 4 years ago, even though there was this projection or prediction that you'd have 100-something thousand of drones in the air, I mean, people just said, you got to be kidding. Well, guess what? 4 years down the road, it's getting here, And these are the type of, work groups that are going to continue on because we're going to continue to need to ensure that we are allowing for commerce to go forward, but at the same time hold people accountable that are inappropriately using this type of equipment. Senator Thatcher.
I remember it was either in 2013 or 2015 that we basically said any, this is my vague recollection, commercial activity when they're following an FAA-approved route or whatever, that we're going to exempt them. Why can't we do that here if they're operating legally within, you know, making their deliveries? I don't want somebody, you know, saying, well, I am doing commercial activity. I'm harassing, you know, they're not going to say they're harassing, but, you know, I'm going to be, like, stalking certain people, and I put things online, and I get hits for that, and that's my commercial activity. So I don't want that to be exempt, but the legitimate commercial activity, like Google or whoever out there that's going to be doing, following FAA rules and routes and operating accordingly, that they should be exempt.
May I, Mr. Chair?
You may.
Thank you, Chair Przanski, Senator Thatcher. Wow, that was, trust me, Aaron and I have spent way too many hours discussing that. The fear from, and actually this came, one of the work group members, Kenji Sugihara, is actually a UAS attorney, and he owns a UAS company focused on recreational drones. And he was one that said, you can't be too expansive on the commercial because anybody can have a business card printed out of their home printer and say, I'm harassing you, but I'm commercially protected. And so we had to keep it really narrow, which is where the intent comes in, so that we don't prohibit the use of a videographer that uses a drone for his real estate clients, for example, or her real estate clients. You know, so we tried to get to the intent in the middle state so that if they are a local commercial operator, then it's allowable as long as their intent is pure. Did I say that?
Chair Przanski, Senator Thatcher, all I would add is Google, Amazon, these are large, sophisticated companies that I'm sure will do a very good and responsible job with this technology, but I think they're the early arrivals. And for the reasons that you were just describing, I don't think we're that far from a world where much smaller businesses are engaging in this technology. And maybe it's because I've been watching The Sopranos during session, but I can look forward to, you know, you've got two competing businesses and one of them is intentionally running their drones over the back patio of the other one 24 hours a day. The fact that they're commercial doesn't change that intent was to harass or annoy.
Yeah, and we've had comments. I've seen the Squires here, and she sat in on this last group, and part of the stuff that we put in there was to ensure on the commercial that there has to be a demonstration that someone is acting outside of what would be the normal business deliveries or whatever they're doing. And so, I mean, when I look at the letter, and I understand that they would like to have the ability to not be held accountable for bad conduct, but the reality is so long as they're acting within the bounds of the law, they're not going to be finding themselves on the other side of a complaint. And Senator Thatcher, you did make some comment about what is permissible within the FAA space. Well, depending on how you want to or whose definition you want, they say that's just inches above the ground. 400 feet, we've heard. 1,000 feet. I mean, there's a different variable distances that we've looked at. And so, you know, this is our intent on the state side to ensure that we're going to have some type of, quote-unquote, law and order and some type of organized chaos in this new venture. So, all right. I assume that we're not ready to take a vote on this at this point, so I'm going to carry over House. I'll get there. 3047A along with House Bill 2597A to this afternoon. So we are going to be recessing. That means we'll just be taking a break, but we'll be back here. What I'm going to say is 2:15 is what we're going to say. We may not actually get started until 2:30, and I understand that you've got a 2 o'clock center left to come. We're not saying cut that short.
My staff just said it got canceled. It got moved to another day.
All right.
It was a conference committee meeting, and it got moved to next week.
Okay. So why don't we do this? Let's go with 2:15, and the reason I say that is because what we've heard from LFO, that they would have it to us by 2. And let's just make sure we have all the paperwork, and we won't have everyone sitting around. So we're going to recess until this afternoon, until 2:15. Until then, we're adjourned. 15.